our spiritual batteries get run down. Often, and there's a lot of sad cases out there where people have lost hope because they're relying on their own strength and wisdom to live their lives. And yet here we promised an amazing thing for Christians, the source of God's Holy Spirit in their life, because God has given us his Spirit to strengthen us. Now, I think we all want that. And Jesus declared that out of our innermost being, rivers of living water, which is the Holy Spirit, will flow. You see, you have an amazing source inside your strength that's flowing like a river. That's a picture of something that's not just there occasionally, but it's flowing. It's telling us that the Holy Spirit loves to work and help us. And I guess this is my desire for all of us, that we allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. And it leads on to the second way that we're talking about this morning, the way that God wants to empower us. You see, the second point is we're strengthened through Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. And I'll say that again. We are strengthened through Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. In verse 17 in the scripture we read says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with a power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Living Bible puts it this way, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust him. Notice how important that is, because we have to learn to trust. We can hear about the Holy Spirit, we can acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but I believe that we have to really learn to trust him to begin to accept and appreciate the benefits. See, not only do we see the Holy Spirit when we become Christians, but through his miraculous work in our lives, he creates a place in our hearts where Christ may dwell. Now, our heart is the center of our emotions. It's the thing that compels. We can be soft-hearted or hard-hearted. So it's not just the physical heart, but it's the center of, I believe, our soul. And God does a miraculous work. He creates a place in our hearts where Christ may dwell. Now, what's this word dwell mean? It actually speaks of a long-term residence, not just a short visit. I believe that our relationship should be growing longer and longer. You know, as I get older, I guess I've learned more and more from the work that Christ has done. Now, there was an author called Richard Munger, and he wrote a booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home. He wrote it to explain what it really means in the practical. And it was a story or picture of a hidden meaning of how he invited Christ to come and live in the home of his heart. He then proceeded to show Jesus around the different rooms of his heart. In other words, parts of his life. And he talked about doing it room by room. See, Christ gently brought changes to what he found as the man in the story gave him permission to do so. That's an important statement. We can hold on to our life, but we can allow Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to come and touch the various areas. In my life, he's still got to do a lot of, you know, there are rooms that I still have shut off. I've got a long way. I'm nowhere near perfect. And Jesus Christ has to slowly touch and bring the Holy Spirit to bear in the various rooms of my life. The only way that Christ can take residence in our hearts and in our lives is by putting our faith in him and trusting him to be the authority in our lives. You know, we so easily trust our own ability, our own skills, our own education, our own ability to make our own life. But as we put our faith in him, we begin to understand and we trust him to be the authority. Now, at the end of the story, the man actually takes the deed or ownership of his house or life and he signs it over to Christ. So instead of seeing Christ as the visitor, this Richard Munger finally came to a point of giving his entire life to Christ and putting himself in the place of the servant. That's how we grow in our faith, because we bit by bit allow Jesus Christ to come and touch us. We hand over and we finally say, hey, I want to be the servant and not the master of my life. And I think the more we understand this, the more we can tap into the strength and power that Christ has dwelling in our hearts that he can give us. Paul goes on to pray that we should know and experience the third source of strength God has for us in that passage of scripture. And this is that we are strengthened, how? By being filled with the love of God. Verse 17 to 19, and I pray to you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow, to me it's like a water tank. When you put it in and it overflows, it's amazing. And that's what our life should be in our relationship with God. We're strengthened and we're filled with the love of God. When we start to truly understand how much God loves us, that love will begin to fill us and strengthen us to do the things that God has for us to do. Paul prays that we would somehow be able to understand, even though it surpasses knowledge. Understand what? How big is the great love of Christ for us? It reaches every corner of our experience. It tells us that his love for us is so wide that it covers all our experiences and reaches the whole earth and beyond. That's how big and how powerful Jesus Christ is. It's not something just confined to where you are, but it's the whole earth. And the love of God is so long that it continues all our life and into eternity. The love of God is so high that it reaches to heights of our joy and happiness. When we're really enjoying life and things are going well, God's love is there. But it's also very, very deep that it reaches to the depth of discouragement, despair, and even death. You see, the love of God embraces every part of our life, every part of our experience. But you know, there is a problem. The problem is too many people have the wrong idea about the character of God. And I've heard people say this, oh, God, you know, they've experienced sadness in their life, maybe had a hard father, or they don't like to think of God being a loving father. Instead of seeing a loving father, they see him as a stern school teacher, ready to smack their hands every time or any time they fail. But you see, sadly and seriously, those people have the wrong impression of God. And some of you may have that. You may have had a tough time when you were younger and you think of, well, who is God? How can he love me? Because I'm not used to this love. But let me tell you this, that God loves us. And it's God's desire for you and me that we really know him, that we would know deep down in our hearts that God loves us. And we should all be able to say that, despite perhaps some of your background experiences. You see, this is what God is. His heart is one of compassion and forgiveness towards us. Compassion is an amazing thing. It shows the love of God, that in Christ, he gave everything he had to purchase our salvation. He gave his only son that we could know him and become a child of God. And Paul prays that the church would know this love that surpasses all knowledge, and that this love would fill us even to the measure of the fullness of God. What an amazing thing that God wants to fill us. He wants us to experience this amazing, abiding love that he has. So here goes something. If you feel like your spiritual, emotional, and physical batteries are running low in power, and we often can experience that, first of all, you need to understand that God has power for you. He's the one who wants to recharge your batteries. And we've learned this morning that from his spirit in your inner being, from Christ dwelling in your heart, so that's a relationship, and from the love of God filling you, that absolute certainty that God loves you and cares for you. Now, that's what that passage told us, but I can't stop there. I've got to finish out the chapter because the result of all that God has for us is so incredible. Let me say this again. The result that all that God has for us is really incredible. There is a purpose for it, and we need to grasp it. Ephesians 3:20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. That's an amazing reading because it's telling us that we can do more, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but let's look at that scripture, measurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. According to his power, that is at work within us. In other words, when Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, we're just different people, and we're there for the glory of God. Did you catch that? It says that God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Sometimes we limit God. We limit him and we say, oh, how could you do that? But in faith, we need to, and we're going to talk about this. You see, God, and this is what it means to me. It means that God has much bigger dreams for what he wants to accomplish through you as an individual, and I certainly believe through MCC Church, bigger than what we sometimes think. You see, you and I can never outdream God. We're limited in our dream, but we can never outdream God. It means that you and I should be praying more for the big dreams that can only happen by faith. Now, here goes a story that some of you may have seen this group, the Watoto Children's Choir. They're an AIDS orphanage from Uganda, and they have travelled since 1994, and they come into different countries. They've been to New Zealand several times. I guarantee they've been all over the place. And they're there to raise support for the ministry that supports hundreds of AIDS orphans who live there. Now, during their concert, each of the 20 children or so who are part of it, they will share their age and what they dreamed of becoming. Each one of those children has a dream. It might be to be a doctor, a pilot, a pastor, or even a bus driver. But the leader of the group said that before they were brought, now listen to this, those children had desperate lives. Before they brought them to their Christian village, they had very, very sad lives. Now, none of these kids had dreams beyond just trying to live. Now, because of what the church has provided for them, and listen to this, because of the love of Christ, they have dreams. Isn't it amazing what the love of Christ, the relationship that we can have, how it can change our dreams from looking just at ourselves, but suddenly opening them up? Now, there is a conclusion to this message. You see, all Christians can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. That's the power and the authority of God who dwells within us. And that's amazing. And we can have the love of God filling us. You know, you should never feel insecure or unloved or unwanted, despite your circumstances. And some of you might come from some pretty tough places, but the love of God is in you, and he will show you that love. And that's a powerful thing. If we live daily with the source of strength that he promises, God is able to do more than we could ever imagine in and through us. I'll say that again, because I believe this is so important. If we live daily, every day, with a source of strength, with a source of strength that he promises, and we've just read that, God is able to do more than we can even imagine in us and through us. That's what makes the church a powerful place, because it's a collection of people who have a love for God, and he will certainly want to work through you and out through you. He'll want to give you big dreams. He'll want to give you dreams that you might say, that's impossible. Let me explain a dream that the church I go to in New Zealand had. Probably about 10 or 15 years ago, our church was big. We had 500 or 600 people, but the church building only had 180 seats. So we had to use the local college at the same time for a second service on a Sunday morning. So they desperately wanted to come back into a group together. Now, we had a prayer meeting. And this is the power of prayer in your church. We had a dream. People had dreamed for 10 years, and then we sensed we should have prayer and fasting for a week. And we did as a church. We had no idea what was going to happen. That was in March. By the end of April, a big property developer who had bought all the land next to the church to put up a 12-story building, the council came and said, no, we're going to limit the height of that building. So he put the land back on the market. Now, we found out about it on a Tuesday morning. We owned three sections right next to the church by Thursday. Now, people had had the dream. But suddenly this is scary. It cost us $1.8 million to buy that land. Do you know, within 4 years, that land was all paid off? And a lot of them were pensioners or older people. But God gave the dream. The people had to have the faith to recognize it. This is from God, and they put it to the test. And God honored, I believe, their faith. And I would say the same for MCC. You know, some of you will have dreams, and you've got to have faith. You've got to have let the Holy Spirit work through you, encourage your leadership, and rip that dream and say, yes, we can do this, not because of our strength, but because of the strength of the God working in us. Now, if we live daily with that source of strength, he promises that God is able to do more than we could ever imagine through us and in us. Now, here goes a very important question that only you can answer. Now, maybe the circumstances of your life have robbed you of the capacity to dream. Maybe your internal battery in your life has run flat or is even running low. And I've been reminded that because of the power of God that he has for us, our batteries can be recharged. God can do immeasurably more than we think is possible through each one of us and through his church, MCC, and all the other churches that exist. But God's power is with us and for us, but we must tap into it. We must tap into it. We can't just acknowledge God, but not actually trust the dream that he's giving us, or we work without the faith. And so this is how we grow. This is how our faith gets stronger. This is how our battery is charged. When we trust that God is leading us, we really work and pray about it, and we see things happening. He's given us resources. But here's a choice. You see, you could live your life, or the church could live this way, by not tapping into that amazing power and availability. And when we do, we can get burnt out, we can get tired, we can get stressed. And as I said earlier on, I've seen churches, even in our town where we lived, there were two churches that closed down. One of them's a big cafe now. Now, what happened? These people were meant to reflect and represent God into their community, but something tired them out, something burnt them out, something stressed them out. And that's very important. See, Paul prayed that the church would experience all the power that God had for them. And I want to pray that for myself, and I want to pray it for you too, because I believe we should all tap into this power and experience it more in our lives. And I'm going to invite you, as I pray, to, you know, you could raise your hands, you could make this a personal prayer. But here goes the prayer. Father, we have just read how you have provided your source of strength for each one of us and for us as a church. I am asking, like Paul, that out of your glorious, unlimited resources, give us the mighty inner strength of the Holy Spirit, that you will enable us to make you feel at home in our hearts as we learn to trust you more, and that we might know and understand the marvelous love you have for us. We pray that by your mighty power working in each one of us, that you will be able to fulfill your dreams through us at MCC, to be a powerful, effective testimony and source of love into our community. We pray against Satan's strong dominance and destructive ways. Help us and give us determination and passion to hear your dream, to live out what you have planned for us as individuals and as a church, not with flat batteries, but charged with the source of your strength that you provide. What an amazing prayer, because it's the truth, and it's the truth we need to really understand. And here's something for you as a church. In this time of stress and dislocation due to COVID-19 in your country and around the globe, I really believe that God wants to be the source of your strength and do amazing new things. You see, we as Christians have a great message to share with everyone. We know who is the source of our strength. I'll say that again. We know who's the source of our strength. We know who is the only one who never changes and who is the anchor of our lives. You know, that's amazing. You and I have an incredible anchor that holds us in the storms. Why should we go with a flat battery? Because we're anchored, and God wants to give each one of us big dreams. Maybe he needs to give you a new dream. and the courage to pursue that dream. He wants to raise up new and old people as leaders, emerging leaders, people who are not working in their own strength, but they're empowered by his Spirit, who have Christ dwelling in their hearts and know the love of God, and this is important, and are not defeated by Satan. You see, churches can be defeated if we allow that to happen, but I believe collectively we can meet, we can pray, we can ask for the power, the authority, we can walk as incredible, fired up people. You can take that same faith into your homes, into your work, where you go, where you spend your life, and become people who are empowered by his Spirit, who have Christ dwelling in our hearts and know the love of God and are not defeated by Satan. You see, you people have become really blessed. And why is that? Not for your own sake, but to become a blessing for the kingdom of God. And what an amazing group of people we are. You know, we don't meet together Sunday after Sunday in our own strength and look for answers. The answers are there in Scripture. We've just heard the answers. And I believe that you'll see in God encouraging people with this Holy Spirit unleashing a new wave of ministry. You know, I believe MCC has a wonderful future ahead of it. It's got a wonderful group of people. You know, I loved it when I was there. And let me just say thank you for encouraging, especially the leadership who need that. Bring your dreams, share your dreams, encourage each other, and help build MCC into an even greater church than it is now. So bless you, and I hope you all have a wonderful week, and you really understand who you are as a Christian. You're a people walking in grace and power and authority and with the love of God in your heart, whatever your circumstances are. So bless you this morning, and thank you for being here.